It's 9:30. This is the Green Valley News for Wednesday, the 29th day of October. Mark DeGroft with you here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. The Suarita Unified School District opened a family resource center last Wednesday at Suarita Primary School, one of two locations geared toward giving students and families a helping hand. The SUSD Family Resource Center has been in the works for years, with the two locations made possible through some grants and donations and community partnerships. Director of Student Services Jess Bunny said that the resource centers are available by appointment with a school counselor, district social worker, or a district administration for now. She said there are plans for open more hours in the near future. SUSD also had a soft opening for another family resource center at Sapori Elementary School on October 1st. The family resource center provides clothing, shoes, pantry items, hygiene kits, school supplies, and other items to SUSD families. The district will continue to accept donations to help students and families. Illegal border crossings in September indicated a 92.4% drop from a record high reported in September of 2023. Last month, 26,002 illegal border crossers were reported nationwide, compared to a record high of 341,392 reported in September 2023, according to newly released U.S. Customs and Border Protection data. Last month's numbers were a significant drop from the 144,666 reported last year and from 272,338 reported in September of 2022. Fewer than half, 11,647, were reported at the southwest border last month, an 89% drop from the 101,790 reported last September. Southwest border illegal entries in September 22 and 23 dwarfed this year's, totaling 227,547 and 269,735, respectively. At the northern border, 4,436 were reported last month, down from 17,127 last September, and a record of 18,852 in September of 2023, according to the data. Overall, September numbers were a slight increase from a record low reported in July at 24,589. Numbers began to drop in February, Trump's first full month in office. Illegal border crossers totals have remained under 30,000 each month nationwide since February. The Trump administration is also reporting that CBP apprehension data in new categories at large or at entry. At large refers to a foreign national who illegally entered the United States and reached their destination further into the interior of the U.S. They include Border Patrol agents apprehending gotaways, those who illegally entered and evaded capture and didn't file immigration claims. At entry refers to foreign nationals who illegally entered the U.S. without admission, also called gotaways, and didn't reach the intended destination regardless of the amount of time since entry, the CBP said. Suarita Vice Mayor Kara Igbert has filed a statement of interest with Pima County's Elections Department to run for the Precinct 7th Justice of the Peace seat in Green Valley. Egbert was first elected to the town council in 2009. Her current term ends in late 2026, and will be one of three council seats with four-year terms on next year's ballot. Town council elections are nonpartisan. Egbert, who's a Republican, will be challenging Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll, who also filed a statement of interest on Monday. The Board of Supervisors appointed Carroll, a Republican, to the post in 2017 after Lisa Royale resigned. A statement of interest is the initial step to getting on the ballot. Neighbor didn't answer an email request for a comment. Rancho Suarita is working on its second clubhouse as the planned community continues to grow. Club del Toro at Rancho Suarita Boulevard near El Toro Road is in the southern part of Rancho Suarita and is expected to be completed this summer. It's going to be a really great space, Rancho Sorita managing partner Jeremy Sharp said, calling the project multi-generational. Club del Toro will include a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, pickleball courts, and a splash pad along with a mix of indoor and outdoor spaces, a fitness room, a resort-style pool, a multi-purpose room, an outdoor living room, playground, and green space. The facility, available to those who live in Rancho Sorita, is in its nearest neighborhood, Entrada del Toro, where almost 1,000 lots are still under development. A news release says Club del Toro will complement the community's original clubhouse, Club Rancho Sorita, at La Villita and Rancho Sorita Boulevard. Rancho Sorita also has two satellite pools and a clubhouse pool in the 55-plus Sonora development in the middle of the community. Club del Toro represents an exciting next chapter for our community, said Susie Mason, and she is the Vice President of Operations for Rancho Sorita and the project's lead. The project is moving swiftly toward completion. The site is in great shape with finishing touches to the pool and the spa occurring daily, and pool tile will be installed in early November. Mason said that the recreation center is designed for flexibility and functionality, serving the Club del Toro neighborhood as a destination for relaxation, fitness, and social connection. Rancho Sorita accounts for just over half of the population of the town of Sorita and will mark its 25th anniversary in 2026. And last year, Sorita voters handily turned down Prop 403, which was a $66 million bond that included a $48.6 million rec center that would have served the entire town. A voter survey indicated the bond was defeated for several reasons, including bad timing and already feeling financially squeezed. For a sixth consecutive year, Rudy Muskies and his family are scaring and entertaining visitors with their annual elaborate Halloween display at their home off of Calle de la Plaza in Sorita. The display this year is packed with intricate scenes, including a spooky graveyard, an eerie swamp, a haunted pumpkin patch, and several others that are brought to life by hand-built structures, animatronics, and characters from classic Halloween lore and popular scary movies. New additions to this year's display include a killer movie scene where popular horror movie characters watch scary movies together, a leprechaun scene inspired by the movie series with the same title, and a giant killer rat scene inspired by the movie Graveyard Ship. Muski Sr. and his family spent 2 months constructing the display before its opening on October 3rd. Visitors are encouraged to bring a food donation for the Sorita Food Bank and Community Resource Center. To date, the family has collected about 6 boxes of donated food. The Muskies family also accepts donations to enhance the experience, and Muskies Sr. sells his own designed Halloween jewelry and accessories. With that little bit of money that I get, I buy more characters and I do stuff like that, whatever I need to do, he said. Muski Sr. says the months of work he puts into the event are worth it for the joy he gets from both the display and giving back to the community. Just to help everybody out, that's why I do it. And I do it because I enjoy it, and I love it, he said. Rudy Muski Jr., 32 years old, who has helped his father with the displays each year since he was 10 years old, is most inspired by how the event unites the communities of Sorita, Rancho Sorita, and Green Valley. It brings happiness to people as well, and it kind of brings the community together, he said. It just brings everybody together to come and see something that they don't have to go to Tucson for. The Muskies family has received extra help in setting up the display for the past few years from their 5-year-old next-door neighbor, Holden, who has been helping since he was in diapers. Holden is so inspired that he now decorates his own front yard. Muski Sr. thinks his young neighbor may one day carry on the tradition for the neighborhood's Halloween display. That little boy has that heart. He'll be there. He'll help us. He'll give us nails, screws, the hammers, whatever we need. Run and go get it and bring it back, Muskie Sr. said. The display is open to the public until November 1st, when Muskie Sr. and family will begin a month-long process of tearing it down and erecting the family's intricate Christmas display by December 1st. The Muskies' home is located at 1321 West Calle de la Plaza in Suarita. That's 1321 West Calle de Plaza in Suarita, and the display opens at dusk. When Ann Hertz walked down the aisle toward her future husband last month, she knew she was getting a great guy. David Stein had already proved it for a solid year. Ann chose her wedding day deliberately, and it didn't matter that it was on a Tuesday. September 16th was 1 year to the day that she had a stroke while she and David were on vacation, a stroke that many thought would take her life. Poor David cried through the whole wedding, Ann says. When I got up to him, and he said, "I'm glad that you're here." And I kind of laughed because I thought he meant, "I don't know if you would show up or not." He said, "No, I saw you happy and walking toward me, and all I could think of was our last year when you couldn't move and couldn't walk." Ann Hertz and David Stein had known each other for more than 40 years when circumstances brought them back together. They decided to find out if it was more than friendship, and it didn't take long before they knew that they had something worth exploring. And at that point, David hadn't traveled much in 10 years. She said, "Well, fasten your seatbelt," he says. Travel, mostly cruises, is Anne's passion. She's been on dozens, and now David was along for the ride. In September of 2024, they were on their first night of a Caribbean cruise headed for Cozumel, and then everything changed. "I had a massive stroke," Anne says. "David found me in a small cabin bathroom in the dark, staring at the wall. David went through the steps of trying to determine what was happening, and everything pointed to a stroke. She also had a history, and had had a stroke back in 2017. She doesn't remember everything, but thinks she told him she was having a stroke. At one point, she wouldn't look at David, fixating on a painting on the wall to her right. It's a neurological condition called left inattention, where a person fails to notice or respond to stimuli on their left side. David knew what was happening and called for the ship's doctor at 3 o'clock in the morning. The liner made a beeline for Cozumel and docked at about 6:30 a.m., where there was an ambulance waiting. The next week in a tiny private hospital reinforced some stereotypes about getting sick in Mexico and others about the wonderful people there that are willing to help. They had to play what David called the money game, putting down a credit card until all the insurance details were confirmed out of the United States. Nothing happens until the plastic comes out. They say the experience has turned them into poster children for full trip insurance. The only neurosurgeon in the region took a ferry from Playa del Carmen. The diagnosis? A hemorrhagic stroke, blood on both sides of the brain. Anne underwent surgery later that day to remove blood and stop the bleeding. David spent the week talking to doctors, family in the United States, and then working on getting Anne back home. As insurance caps were about to kick in, her host grew impatient, even asking when she planned to leave. "But even with all that, I feel they saved my life," Anne says. A medical flight out of the country was hastily arranged. The jet was so small, David had to ditch his suitcases at the hospital and put everything in plastic garbage bags that were then stuffed into the cabin. Adding to the drama, they took off the exact moment Hurricane Helene was striking Cozumel. "Things were a little bit surreal," David deadpanned. The jet gassed up in Matamoros at about the time a somewhat incoherent Anne asked, "Are we stopping for popsicles?" A line the pastor managed to work in during their ceremony a year later. The flight, it cost $40,000, landed in Tucson, and the jet, registered in Mexico with the Mexican flag on its side, was swarmed with people carrying badges who inspected everything, including David and Anne. As she was loaded into an ambulance, Anne, who's incredibly good-natured, asked the driver in all seriousness whether they could make a stop in the Green Valley to see her cat. That didn't happen, but she did spend the next week in Banner University Medical Center, where she was eventually deemed able to handle some serious rehab, 3.5 hours every day at another facility. Anne couldn't remember how to feed herself, how to comb her hair, brush her teeth, or walk. She couldn't even remember how to hold a fork. There were peas all over the floor, David said, as they both laughed. Nearly everything had to be relearned, yet every day David was at her side. The therapy was intense, occupational, physical, and speech. She says she looked like death in a video showing her walking for the first time post-stroke. David fed her, he encouraged her, and cajoled her, and he was by her, and that's what she remembers. He was there. Most guys would have taken off, Anne says bluntly. I mean, who's going to feed me? I could even get the milk open, and once it was opened, well, you had to relearn everything. Anne, who admits patience is not her strength, was unhappy when she found out she'd be in therapy a week longer than she had expected. I just wanted to see my cat, she says. So David made a deal. You stay, and I'll bring the cat to you. And he did. That's why I fell in love with David so much, she says. I mean, he brought the cat into me twice. He had to clean me and help me dress, even the toothpaste. And by this time, Anne knew he was the one. The same guy who helped her scale what the rehab staff called Mount Lemon, a 3-step staircase in the rehab room. We laughed a lot. Most people would have been so frustrated, Anne says. She finally went home a month after leaving Green Valley for the cruise. Her friends were right there, too. After her release, they made her favorite foods and walked with her at historic Canoa Ranch. Anne calls it feeding, watering, and walking me. Everybody took turns, and I ended up walking like 3 times a week, so now I can walk by myself around the neighborhood for 2 miles. Her friends even surprised her with a wonderful picnic lunch at a pavilion at the historic Canoa Ranch Lake with real china and everything that she liked. I just have great friends, she says. That connection to the historic Canoa Ranch helped with the decision of where to get married. The theme, of course, was travel, with the couple scouting thrift stores for old luggage and globes for decorations, Volcano Island Band and their steel drums entertained. And the date itself held deep meaning for Anne. She survived, and she was back. The wedding was just great, she says. Anne Hertz, now Anne Stein, still has challenges. David, whom she calls unbelievable, ties her shoes and fastens her buttons. He makes sure her pills are filled, and mostly that she continues to gain strength and confidence. And they are traveling again. They honeymooned in London, Spain, Portugal, and the Canary Islands. It's been a long road, she says, mentioning that 2 fingers still aren't quite right, but I tell people if that's the worst of my problems, I'll be okay. From the Arizona Daily Star, Scott Courtright reached the summit of Humphreys Peak and breathed in a tranquility that quickly turned into a jolting trek for him and another hiker, a fight to survive on Arizona's highest mountain. The two hikers exchanged pleasantries, with Courtright snapping a photo of his newly acquainted companion when, without warning, both men were struck by lightning on the morning of October 22nd. I was kneeling down to get a drink of water and then put my pack on, Courtright said on October 24th in an interview with the Arizona Republic. The next thing I know, I woke up. There was no bang. Courtright, who's 50 years old, said that based on his injuries, the lightning's current appears to have shot into his right forearm, split 2 ways, and exited through both his right heel and centimeters below his left pinky toe. The craziest thing, it doesn't hurt, Courtright said of the burns he sustained. Courtright said that his fellow hiker, a Canadian visiting Arizona, had nearly all of his clothing burned away, leaving him almost completely naked. The pair were out cold for about 15 minutes before they came to and were immobile on the ground for about another 45 minutes. As clouds engulfed the summit near Flagstaff and 40-mile-per-hour wind swept in, the men hunkered behind a low-standing wall of piled rocks gathered by prior visitors to the peak. Courtright said they huddled together for warmth, he added. He was determined to return home to Flagstaff and reunite with his wife of 24 years and his 2 daughters. We weren't going to die on top of that mountain. We were both of the mindset that we weren't going to die, because that was really our only other option at the time, that just based on the weather, Courtright said. At least one hiker has perished on Humphreys Peak. In July 2016, a lightning strike claimed the life of 17-year-old Wade Young, who is a recent high school graduate from Tempe. After enduring three grueling hours at the summit of Humphreys Peak, the two men began their descent toward the tree line, where rescue workers, whom they'd managed to contact by cell phone, were waiting for them. Located about 14 miles north of Flagstaff, Humphreys Peak rises more than 12,600 feet as part of the southern Rocky Mountains. The dormant volcano presents a daunting challenge even for experienced hikers, with its steep, treacherous slopes inhabited by bears and mountain lions. After navigating about a mile of difficult terrain, Courtright's injured companion could go no further. Courtright continued another 200 yards and reached the search and rescue team. He was taken by UTV to the team's command center, while his companion was carried down the mountain on a gurney. An avid outdoorsman, Courtright said he regularly hikes as part of his work as an archaeologist. On what was his second trip to Humphreys Peak, he heard no thunder rumbling, saw no flash of lightning, and felt no static electricity. There was zero sign, Courtright said. I know when I need to not be someplace. Absolutely no indication that I was going to be struck by lightning. On the evening of October 24th, Courtright texted the hiker whom he had traversed close to death with on Humphreys Peak. He learned that the man was recuperating well. Along with escaping with his life from Humphreys Peak to be with his family, Courtright had music on his mind. He refused to miss The Cult, one of his favorite rock bands, which was slated to perform the night of October 25th at the Arizona State Fair in Phoenix. He will, however, likely not be back to Humphreys Peak for a while. I'm going to take a break, he said, with a laugh. National and world news out of the Star. Trump said on Monday that he would technically be eligible to run for vice president after his current term, but ruled it out doing so, telling reporters it wouldn't be right. At the same time, Trump again declared his interest in serving a third presidential term, which is barred under the Constitution. I would love to do it, he said, told journalists traveling with him aboard Air Force One during his multi-leg trip across Asia. The 79-year-old Republican often drops hints about his potential plans for the next presidential election, including campaign-style caps reading Trump 2028. This has fueled speculation over whether he might seek a way to extend his political career. From Washington, the Trump administration on Monday asked the Supreme Court to allow it to fire the director of the U.S. Copyright Office. The administration's newest emergency appeal to the high court was filed a month and a half after a federal appeals court in Washington held that the official, Shira Perlmutter, could not be unilaterally fired. Nearly 4 weeks ago, the full U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit refused to consider that ruling. Perlmutter is the Register of Copyrights and also advises Congress on copyright issues. The case is the latest that relates to Trump's authority to install his own people at the head of federal agencies. Perlmutter claims Trump fired her in May because he disapproved of advice she had given to Congress in a special report to artificial intelligence. And Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin resumed scheduling abortions on Monday after a nearly month-long pause due to the federal Medicaid funding cuts, saying it no longer fits the definition of prohibited entity under the new federal law that took effect this month. From Turkey, a magnitude 6.1 earthquake shook western Turkey on Monday, causing at least three buildings that were damaged in a previous tremor to collapse, according to officials. There were no immediate reports of casualties. The quake was centered in the Balıkesir province, according to the Disaster and Emergency Management Agency, AFAD. From Trinidad Tobago, Venezuela's Vice President Delcy Rodriguez said Monday that energy agreements with Trinidad and Tobago should be canceled over what she described as hostile actions by the island nation. From the Kremlin, North Korean Foreign Minister Chun Soo-hui visited the Kremlin Monday for talks with President Vladimir Putin, which followed last month's meeting between the country's leaders. Putin and Kim Jong-un met in September in Beijing. From Florida, intense rains that stalled over the central Florida unleashed nearly 20 inches of rain in 24 hours, triggering dangerous flash floods on Monday that stranded cars and inundated roadways, leaving some closed to traffic. And from California, ExxonMobil Corporation sued the state of California on Friday over a pair of 2023 climate disclosure laws that the company says infringe on its free speech rights, namely by forcing it to embrace a message that large companies are uniquely to blame for climate change. Back to the Green Valley News for the police report. From October 24th, someone living inside a vehicle called the Sheriff's Department to report someone stole four puppies from inside their car. An officer went to a Suarita Unified School District school after receiving a report that inappropriate comments were exchanged between a teacher and a student. An elderly resident called Suarita Police to report someone stole their checkbook from their vehicle while they were inside a South Nogales highway business. Suarita Police were informed of an unknown person using a resident's airline accounts without permission. A 19-year-old Suarita woman was arrested and booked into the Pima County Jail after her employers told officers she'd been shoplifting from the store. 11 separate cases were documented. From October 25th, a South Macon Court resident called the Sheriff's Department at 1:30 in the morning to report a vehicle with loud exhaust was speeding around the neighborhood. And someone called the Sheriff's Department at 10 in the morning to report eight people wearing camouflage and carrying radios were seen coming out of the desert and getting into vehicles near the Union Pacific Railroad and Elephant Head. Suarita Police didn't find anybody. And a South Las Uvas resident called the Sheriff's Department to report a man 18 to 25 years old was going through the neighborhood on a scooter, ringing everybody's doorbell. The caller thought he was casing the houses. And that takes care of the reading of the Green Valley News for this Wednesday. Mark DeGroft with you. Thanks for joining me. Stay tuned for more Sun Sounds programming, and I'll be back with you on Friday. Till then, take care.